Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Part 5 of 2 Timothy, Hanging in a Balance. This letter written by Paul as he literally faces his death. He's going to be executed for his Christian service. A little bit different style as he's remembering many things. And he's encouraging Timothy, who's now discouraged. Timothy, stir up the gift. Let's go, Timothy. Timothy has allowed the pressures to get to him. Very believably, he's thinking, if Paul is going to face his death from a Roman jail cell, I could too. And Timothy needs encouraged. And so it is, this letter is an incredibly encouraging one. Paul, trying to bring him back, get back and busy about the Lord, what God has prepared and called you to do. Something we had seen several weeks ago that I think is so important to remember is it's all part of a plan. Before the foundation of the world, God had already purposed many things. And Paul told Timothy this, what we're going through is not spiraling out of control. God is in control. What is befalling us today, God knew about before He created this world. And this ought to be a great comfort to all of us, whether it is a personal hardship in our life or whether you look on the grand scheme of this whole world, God still is in control. He told us perilous times would come, and surely they are here, like nothing we've ever seen before. Therefore, Timothy, there is no need to be fearful. There's no need to be ashamed. Stand strong for the gospel. It's the truth of all time. And God knows, God cares. We then saw not what, but whom, where Paul had expressed the source of his great comfort. And I want to read chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 18, which is going to give us our text for tonight. Here is the source of Paul's confidence. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom, not what, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. We're going to pick up at verse 13. As Paul is sharing his confidence in whom he has believed, he goes on in verse 13 and he says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. He's starting here, lay hold of doctrine, those truths that you know. But he's then going to encourage him to not just have a head knowledge, but apply it in your daily living. We're not supposed to be absorbing information endlessly. We're supposed to put it to use. Timothy, it's a good thing if you hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. It's interesting how many of the commentaries made a big deal of the form of sound words, form being actually along the order of structure. That apparently Paul, in some type of form, systematically taught Timothy. There are actually some people that avoid training, expecting the Holy Spirit to individually illuminate us, foregoing any kind of formal training. That's crazy. My goodness, we can find many places in Scripture where we need to submit ourselves to teaching. Whether it be preachers, teachers, tutors, commentaries, recorded messages we have today, why not use the tool? transcripts, living examples. Teachers are right and proper that we would have these to train us up. Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Paul, being a teacher to him, here he is facing his death. Timothy, what has been invested in you, don't let it go to waste. Hold fast is such a possession. Possess it deeply. And the form is a sketch of limp for imitation, structure. So we could read this verse to say, hold fast in such as a deep possession, the form or a pattern, structure of your thinking and your understanding of Bible understanding. It's structured of sound or true doctrine, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And it makes sense that we would logically understand Scripture, build precept upon precept, line upon line. There's a reason why it's so important that we see the big picture and then start to bring it down, because then the detail makes sense when you see the big picture. So we have to see things such as dispensations and prophecy and the whole concept, the flow of Scripture, Israel taken into Egyptian bondage, and then they're set free, and then the time of the judges, and when we see the flow of things, it makes more sense. Timothy, keep it all in perspective and hold to sound doctrine. Isn't this what the whole of 1 Timothy was? Timothy, remember the first letter I wrote? Chapter 1, verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Timothy, hold on to that doctrine, he says in chapter 1 of the second book. 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Doctrine. We saw that in the book of 1 Timothy, and here Paul is telling Timothy, stir up the gift and hold fast to sound doctrine. So he has let his gift slide, and he is not holding on to doctrine. And he needs to get back in track. He's got work to do. Especially at this time when you're faltering. Remember what you've learned. Standing on the promises, provided we remember them. Timothy, if it can happen to him, it can happen to any of us. The Word of God is surely that which strengthens us to endure the hardships of life. This is where Timothy is. Persecution. And just the simple thought of, if Paul's in prison and going to be executed, and I'm following in his footsteps, I could be next. I could be next. And that does not suit him apparently very well right now. Timothy, you would do well to read again 1 Timothy, the letter that Paul has written to you earlier. You'll be encouraged by it. Do you ever stop and think about what it took to make Timothy the pastor that he is? If you reflect on some of the truths up to this point that we have studied, we remember Paul talking about his mother and his grandmother and their unfeigned faith. God started when he was a little guy working in Timothy's life. How about the time that Timothy traveled with Paul, and surely the whole time, can you not hear Paul teaching and teaching and teaching as they traveled together? And then we read about the gift of God given to Timothy by the laying on of hands. And then here we have got the organized training in the Word of God from Paul that went on to Timothy, and then his life's experiences. Who knows what written word he had also to read? They didn't have the publications like we do, but I have to believe he had some kind of access to the Scriptures. So there was many different things that influenced him, and they're faltering him right now. He's not applying himself to be and to do what he should be doing. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Here Timothy is to hold, keep that good thing committed unto him. Knowledge is not enough now. You're going to have to hold on to it. Let's bring it back, stir it up into memory that it starts to become a part of your life. Apply it. What was the good thing committed unto Timothy? I think it's the whole comprehensive concept of his ministry. God has entrusted you, Timothy, with many things. Think back to the good things that have been put upon you. Your righteous upbringing, your calling, your special gift, your experiences with Paul, your training, your ministry, the Word of God, all of it collectively, that good thing, you're calling into ministry, now apply it. Keep it by the Holy Ghost. The collective truth that God has given you wasn't given just because. This is real. And Timothy got into the battle, and he became fearful. But he doesn't have the spirit of fear, but rather a sound mind. But he's lost it. Timothy, keep it by the Holy Spirit. If we would truly grasp what the Holy Spirit means to us, God, the Spirit, lives in us. I don't think we can truly come to grips with that. We have to accept it. But God lives in us. We are the temple of God. Consider what this means. I have given you four things here that the Holy Spirit means to us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are sealed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. If we would simply lay hold of the fact that the Holy Spirit has sealed us, the worst that can happen is we die and go to heaven. If everything else fails, we're going to heaven because the Holy Spirit seals us. That's a wonderful starting point right there. Timothy, would you please hold fast your ministry, the good thing committed unto you by the Holy Spirit. He has sealed you for starters, Timothy. Put your own name there. Let's take a look at some other work of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in truth. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Timothy, this ought to be a great comfort to you right now. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. But He is going to guide us in truth. Timothy, right now you're faltering. Very believably, he is shaken, wondering if it really is true that we have left the Jewish system and gone to the church. And he says, that Spirit's going to lead you in truth. Just keep going. He has sealed you and He's going to lead you in truth. Let's consider something else that Holy Spirit means to us in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He comforts us. And here Timothy is in desperate need of comfort. You have a Holy Spirit that sealed you. He's leading you in all truth, and He comforts. The Holy Spirit is not a thing or an it. It's a real person. It is God in us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. You're going to continue to be taught, Timothy. And bring all things to your remembrance. Timothy, would you appreciate that Holy Ghost? And how about the idea that the Holy Spirit gives us power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. Listen, it's not about us. God takes simple people, simple things, and does great things. This is the whole point. God does not want us to take the glory. He works through simple people, then He gets the glory. How did you do that? Through God. God did it through me. He gave me the power. Many times you can read in the Scriptures people that did incredible things, and they had no power. God had the power. Hence, we see the importance of remembering the indwelling Spirit. Timothy, come on. Come on. Get yourself back on track. That Holy Spirit's not going to leave you. Verse 15, this thou knowest, and this is an interesting transition. Please note as we read this, we have gone from holding fast doctrine and that good thing keep through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember this now. It changes. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He's transitioning from doctrine, holding on to ministry. People are leaving. By the way, Timothy, I see you hanging in the balance right now. I have to gently tell you that people leave. And Timothy, I don't want you to be a casualty. If you don't hang on to the Word of God, Timothy, you could be next. See it? Timothy has much knowledge, much training, but he is forsaken. Paul knows there's a problem here, Timothy. Get back on track. Get into the Word. Stir up the gift. Do you not see people are leaving? Look at it. Verse 15. That all they which are in Asia be turned away. And he says, let me cite two people, Phygellus and Hermogenes. Quote, we know nothing of these two individuals, but what is here mentioned? It would seem that they were prominent persons and those from whom the apostle had a right to expect other treatment. The ecclesiastical traditions allege that they were of the 70 disciples and in the end became followers. We imagine that this is little more than a conjecture. It's a sad thing when the only record made of a man, the only evidence we have that he ever lived at all, is that he turned away from a friend or forsook the path of true religion. And yet there are many of whom the only thing to be remembered of them is they live to do wrong. This is all we know about these two men. They did wrong. May we live, people remember more of us than we did wrong. Timothy, you know who these two are? Apparently, Paul has cited them to stir it up in Timothy. Can you believe they turned? Timothy, you could be next. Paul is old. He's been faithful. He faces his death. And what does he get? Abandoned. Abandoned. But God is there. Luke is with him. And Paul is very concerned about Timothy. It's interesting that Paul makes this statement. Look in verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He doesn't say what to do about it. He simply states a fact. All those in Asia and these two specific people have turned. He doesn't say anything more. I really believe he's citing this fact to get Timothy's attention. You're hanging in a balance, Timothy. You could be next. Think, Timothy. Did you really think these two guys would leave? Timothy, you're under persecution. And Paul, can you hear him saying, look at me. I'm in a jail cell for Christ. What have I done wrong? I preached the truth. And of course, who's our greatest example? Jesus Christ. What did He do? He raised the dead. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He preached love. He preached truth. And they lied about Him. And they brought up false witnesses. And they crucified Him. Yes, Timothy, the Christian life can be very hard. We don't know what tomorrow holds, and praise God we don't. I don't want to know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. That's all I need to know. Timothy, there is persecution. There are problems, and the Christian life gets hard. But don't quit. Rather, hold fast. And keep that good thing through the Holy Spirit, because others have left, Timothy. And you have so much to offer, and God has called. People will disappoint, but God will never. And John 6:66, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more. And Paul said, all of those in Asia have turned. Folks, there may come times we're going to be pretty alone here in this life, because many will turn. But we cannot base our Christianity upon another person. We must base it on truth and upon God. Because people will disappoint us. But God will never disappoint us. And they walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, will ye also go away? Folks, truth doesn't change. We must anchor on it and face the hardness. Endure it as a good soldier. And thank God Jesus Christ faced it for us and went to that cross. Timothy, much rests upon this. Many are leaving. Don't you become a casualty. Stand strong. And Timothy, think, if you leave, how many people will be affected? Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Consider the flow. Timothy, hold on to doctrine. Keep that good thing. By the way, those in Asia have turned, specifically two that are cited. But then, on the brighter side, there's Onesiphorus. And he is bringing this to Timothy's mind. Timothy, not everybody is running. Let me give you an example of one who is a precious, precious brother in Christ. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Let him be an example for you, Timothy. For oft he refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. You know this guy, Timothy. He's a good man. He was not ashamed of Paul. He applied himself diligently to find him. When you were in a Roman jail cell, you did not have a mailbox out front with your name on it. They would have trouble finding you. He was not affected by those that deserted Paul and Christianity. He still went to Rome and sought Paul. Can you not hear some of those that have defected saying to him, what are you looking for him for? And he wasn't deterred. He kept going. I want you to think about this. Onesiphorus is a Christian. And he's trying to find a man who's on death row because he's a Christian. And Onesiphorus said, I'm going there. In the hotbed of Roman oppression, I'm going to go identify. Do you realize he could be next? And he said, I'm going into that prison and I'm going to find Paul. I'm going to face the opposition. I'm not afraid. And Paul is citing this incredible man to Timothy as an encouragement, because Onesiphorus very well could have been next. Oh, you're one of him? Get in there yourself. But he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid to knock and ask, where's Paul? Where's Paul? And when he found Paul, he encouraged him. Are you an encourager? Encourage people. Do you not like a kind word? Do you realize we live in a sin-sick world? Sometimes a kind word goes so far you have no idea. Look to see who you can encourage, not who will encourage you. I want to read this because I thought this really described this Onesiphorus very well. The man who now steps upon the scene does not reappear. One epistle only mentions his name, and in the Acts his very name is unrecorded. So let us mark, however, what letter it is which contains these references. It is the last of all of the epistles of Paul, written during his second imprisonment and not long before his death. He is again in Rome, but not, as on the former occasion, in his own hired house, with liberty to receive whom he will, and to speak all that's in his heart. Cold and worn and ill, Paul the aged lies in his prison cell, and of all his many companions, only Luke is with him now. So it happens that the very epistle, which is full of the most heroic confidence in divine protection, is now marked by the tenderest yearnings for human sympathy. And the heart of the apostle is swayed like the sea before the rough wind of unkind desertion. And again, under the soft breeze of faithful solicitude and care. Onesiphorus, it is clear, was an Ephesian, for Timothy was at this time resident at Ephesus. And there this man's household dwelt. There then Paul and he had made acquaintance during the long continued campaign of the apostle in the city. Now 10 years ago, that earlier time was not forgotten. Everyone knew, and Timothy had often heard, of what value his friendship had been. His house was one of the homes which had opened to Paul and made him welcome. Children were there, now grown to manhood, who were taught to run to the door at his approach and to draw him in joyfully. Years passed, and they had not met. Business of some kind brings Onesiphorus at last to Rome. Paul is at Rome, too, a prisoner in close confinement, and it's not easy to get access to him. No man stood by me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God not lay it to their charge. This good Ephesian, however, is made of sterner stuff. He applied to the brethren, and to his astonishment, they have nothing to tell about the apostle. He goes to the government offices and inquires there. Their information is scornfully refused. He makes his way, nothing daunted, to the prisons and gets referred to one jailer after another till he is almost tired out, but he perseveres. And at last, here is a man who can tell him. But does he note that the risk of his own liberty, perhaps to his own life? He knows he is prepared to face it. If only he may see Paul. He sought me out very diligently and found me. Found the solitary old man with the chains on his hands and the damp, dark prison walls round about him. What a meeting it must have been. Sunshine pouring into the damp, dark prison walls round about. And here in the mouth of the cave is the emblem of the suffering of this bright and cheerful countenance. Oh, how Paul must have appreciated him. It was not then in vain that Jesus had left the word of the record for his disciples. I was in prison and you came unto me. Christian sympathy will find a way through every difficulty and a key for every prison door. Paul has no silver or gold to give. He is so poor that he cannot buy a cloak to keep off the cold. But he has something to be prized far more, a good man's prayers. Those prayers he offers both for Onesiphorus himself and his family. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. The Lord grant it unto him. Nor is Onesiphorus alone, for whom Paul would pray, his household too to be saved, those sweet children of whom he had so often spoken of, the love of Jesus, and the servants, and his master's example to guide them, the kinfolk who came to visit. May they all abound in the bundle of life in the Lord their God. See how great the blessing is of the belonging of a godly home. And Onesiphorus had been abundantly recompensed in time and in eternity for all that he had done and dared for Paul. Need we fear to be overlooked? We have the servant's prayers. We have the master's promise. Whosoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water in my name, of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This man at great peril, at great risk, at great effort, applied himself to find Paul. And he encouraged him. Timothy, are you thinking? Get back. Stir up the gift. Remember, many have fallen away. But remember Onesiphorus. What a blessing he is. You know him. He was at Ephesus. He lives there. He's a good man. Let him be an encouragement to you. Here we have Timothy hanging in a balance, faltering in his faith and hence his ministry. Ashamed of Paul, and he needs to hold fast to what he knows. Paul reminds him, throughout the years, many have forsaken Christianity. Persecution, hardships, drive many out. But did you know that persecution and hardships purge Christianity? The phonies are gone. It's interesting to note where 2 Timothy chapter 2 will take us. Look at the next verse, 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Many are falling away, Timothy. Onesiphorus is not. I need you to be strong, Timothy.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.